Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. Glad that you are with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Last week on Easter Sunday, I kind of laid out a challenge, an encouragement for us to pray the Lord's Prayer, and gave out these booklets. There's the booklets. If you weren't here last week or didn't get one, they're on both of the welcome tables as you leave. You can grab one. If you've got a friend that would like one, go ahead and grab that. Just not to embarrass anybody, but anybody want to raise their hand if they did that this week? Several of you? Miller. Where's Miller? Come here, Miller. Now, I promise, if you email me something, I will never force you to do anything, but Miller is a trooper. She emailed me and from my email that where I said, hey, if you did this, email me. All you others that raised your hand, shame on you. You didn't email me. Because you thought I might ask you to do this, right? Miller emailed me, and I asked her if she would mind sharing that. So share what you told me.
I did this because I found it very warming that I knew that everybody would be praying the Lord's Prayer at the same time. And so I did this, and I did pretty good with it. And there were two times this week that I had just kind of bypassed my reminder, and I got busy. But the wonderful thing about it to me was at two points each day, I became overcome with just saying it. And both those times, on both days, I was in a very stressful situation, and it was something that I didn't think I'd be able to work through, and the crazy things of life. And just at that point, on both days, it came to me, oh, I haven't said the Lord's Prayer today. And both those times, a calming sense of peace came over me, and I got through it, and I stopped, and I said the Lord's Prayer, because I figured that was probably a sign I should probably do it. And I did it. My situations both became very calming, and I worked through them. So it's been a good week just for the sole fact that I take that time and do it. So,
amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Miller. If you email me, I promise I will never make you do anything. Everybody's like, I ain't emailing the preacher. I promise I won't. I may ask you if you would be willing to, but if you don't, that's okay. But just, again, these books are out there. So we're going to be starting a series today I'll talk more about in just a second, but it's dealing with the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer, you may or may not know this, but there's two times that the Lord's Prayer is found in Scripture. They're a little bit different on different occasions. Matthew, that we're going to be using as our model these next 5 weeks, Matthew 6, was part of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we don't know if Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount all at one time. It's the way it's written, but it may have even been a collection of his different teachings that were put together in the book of Matthew. But it's recorded in chapter 6, and then also in Luke chapter 11, in response to the disciples saying, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And so the Lord's Prayer is recited there, and each one of those is different occasions. We don't know if Christ actually referred to this prayer twice or maybe even more times, or if these were different ways that Matthew and Luke presented this prayer being taught. But if you'll turn with Matthew 6, we're going to look at that today. You know, so many times, just like we did earlier today, you may have grown up in a tradition, a church tradition that really didn't say the Lord's Prayer, and that's okay. We're not mandated to say that in worship, but in the Methodist tradition, many times we will say that prayer, and we say it most every Sunday, and it's like so many things. It's good. It's a good discipline to have, but so many times it can become just something we say, and we're not even really thinking about what are we actually saying, what are we actually praying. It just comes so naturally out of our mouth. But Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, this is the words of Christ. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, the end of the kind of what I call kind of the doxology portion of the prayer is not found in Scripture. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's not found in Scripture in the earliest manuscripts. We believe that the early church added that, tagged that on to the end of the prayer, kind of as a closing, as a doxology to that prayer. But it's not actually found in the most ancient and reliable sources. So let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said earlier, we're starting a new sermon series today, God's Blueprint for Prayer. God's Blueprint for Prayer. And, you know, it's interesting when the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray, this is the model for the prayer that he gave us. So God's Blueprint for Prayer. And today's message is God is worthy of praise. You know, and Miller, thank you for sharing. Just like even when she was intentional, and I'm the same way, when we're intentional about we're going to pray, sometimes our day gets away from us, doesn't it? And we look up and it's like, golly, it's been 2 days since I've prayed. It's been, I didn't pray all day, or it's been a week since I've prayed. We can so into life, but prayer should be incorporated into every component of our lives, as we will see in this little video. Go ahead and run that. Lee.
Django. Hey, buddy. You hungry? You are, sleepyhead. You are. Good morning. Hey. You want to eat? You hungry? Are you hungry? Yeah? Okay. Well, come here. I'll tell you what. Come say grace. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and everything you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to be the man and puppy that you've allowed us to be. Father, thank you for our friends and family, their prayers and support and energy that they give us. Father, just guide and guard and watch over them as they go through the days ahead. Father, I do ask a special prayer that you help me to not chase the neighbor's cat and to listen to my master whenever he asks me to do something. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go eat. Good boy.
Now that may be taking it just a little bit further than we intended, but even the dog prays. I want us to break, we're going to break this prayer down, into five parts. Today we're going to look at verse 9. And the first thing that we see is that God is personal. God is personal. You know, we see that Jesus is teaching us to pray by saying, our Father. Now, this was radical language to the disciples. God had never been personalized like that. He'd been the father of a nation, the father of the Jewish people, they'd seen that corporately, but they had never seen the intimacy that Jesus was teaching, that God is our Heavenly Father. Now, even in just in the book of John, Jesus referred to God as Father over 100 times in John's gospel, over 100 times. And I actually went through and counted, I think it's like 110 or 15 different times that Jesus referred to God as Father. Now listen to John in chapter 20. He says, Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell, this is after his resurrection, I am returning to my Father and your Father. to my God and to your God. God became personal. God is personal. And also John in 1 John says, how great is the love of the Father that he's lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That if God is our Heavenly Father, then we are his children. Now, you know, I understand that the imagery of father and children can conjure up great memories, great feelings in us. It can also conjure up woundedness in us for some of us. If we didn't have a good relationship with a father, if we've had broken relationships with children, or whatever, that imagery can be bad. But that's not the way it's intended to be. God, as our Heavenly Father, is a good thing. Because when it's working the way it should work, a father is someone that will that is involved, that will lay down their life for their children, for their family. And so we understand that that God as our Heavenly Father is a good thing. Now, if God is our Father and we are his children, what does it make you and I to one another? Brothers and sisters, we are siblings with one another. And so I remember, I wasn't taught this or trained this, but I remember when God really got a hold of me, it was in 1991, when God really got a hold of me and really transformed my life, I began to call, Cheryl doesn't remember this, I know, but I remember I was talking to a friend of mine that was a fellow Christian. I was talking on the phone and I kept calling him brother. Now, no one had taught me that, but instinctively, because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, I just understood this man was my brother. And it wasn't a teaching. It was just knowing that because God is my Heavenly Father and because I am his child and because the same is true with this person, then I am their brother and their sister. Do you understand that? That's why we are brothers and sisters. And again, in the way that is supposed to work is we will be there for one another. And I see that in this body of believers. I have seen people rally around people when they're hurting, when they're rejoicing. When it's working the way it's supposed to work, it is a beautiful thing. God, through this prayer, Jesus was telling us that God is personal. He is intimate with us. He wants closeness with us. God had always been this big being out there. He'd been out there somewhere, but Jesus was saying, no, he's not out there somewhere. He's right here with you. He's shoulder to shoulder with you. He's walking with you. Our Father. Second thing, verse 9 tells us that God is all-powerful and ever-present. Our Father in heaven. Now, he's all-powerful and ever-present. You know, and those words, if you want the fancy words that you'll hear sometimes, the theological words, all-powerful, omnipotent. If you hear that God is an omnipotent God, that he is all-powerful, there is nothing beyond his control. There is nothing outside of his reach. There is no problem that you face. There is no wound too deep for him. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He is ever-present. He is omnipresent is the fancy word. He's ever-present. He is with you. God's word tells us, Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And we know that through the power of the Holy Spirit that God dwells not only with us, but in us. I just want to read through, I'm not going to give you all, most of them I think are right there in your handout. I'm just going to read through some of the quotes in God's word that speak of the majesty of God. That his power and how present he is in our lives. Exodus 9, God said, there is no one like me in all the earth. Psalm 97, for you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted above all gods. Jeremiah, O sovereign Lord, you have made, you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I want to just tell you, church, that whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life. I don't know why, but this week, this has really been pressed on my heart the last 2 days, that someone, perhaps here this morning, someone has deep grief and deep shame about an abortion. It's been on my heart the last 2 days. I'm speaking that over you, that God loves you. God loves you. Had a young lady recently who had an abortion, and I had nothing to do with this healing that happened in her life, but had come to a place of healing and said that God had revealed to me, I can't remember if it was a little boy or a little girl, but God had revealed to her that this little boy or this little girl was with him in heaven and was okay. And that is the power of a loving and merciful God. Yeah, we mess up. That's why Jesus had to die on a cross, because we sin. We have sin in our lives. We don't get it right. We mess it up so many times. But God is merciful. And I promise you, he is in control. And so if that's you this morning, I just want you to hear that word, that God loves you and he forgives you and that child is okay. It doesn't mean that I'm telling you that it's abortion's okay because, you know, God's going to take care of those little children. No, it's not. But God can redeem the mistakes and the sin in our lives. Third thing that verse 9 tells us today is that God is worthy of our praise. Worthy of our praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word is kind of foreign to us. I don't know about you, but I don't walk around going, hallowed be to you today. You know, I don't use that language. It's a little odd language to us. It was not odd, you know, in the early centuries with the church. Hallowed, just meaning just kind of a snapshot of what that word just partially could mean, is most holy, sacred, pure, blameless, set apart. That is the God that we serve, is that he is this holy God, this sacred and pure God, this God who is set apart. There is, as the scripture we just read, there is none like him in all the earth. And we are crying out to him that he is holy. Now, to the Jewish people, both then and even today, a name was more than just a way of identifying a person. You and I, we have a name, and it's like, you know, when somebody says our name, we turn and listen, and we know they're talking to us. It's a way of just identifying the person. But to the Jewish people, a name identified a person's nature and purpose, their nature and purpose. And we see that in so many examples in Scripture. Abram became Abraham, and Saul became Paul, and we see several examples in Scripture where when God changed someone, he changed their name, because a name was more than just identifying the purpose. Now, the name of God, this is really blows me away when I think of this. The Jewish scribes had so much reverence for God's name that when they were writing down scripture, the scribes, when they were writing down scriptures, they would wash their entire body before they started to write the name of the Yahweh. We'll talk about that more of that in just a second. But before they would write the name, they would wash their entire body. They would be in full Jewish dress, and they would do that before they began to write and after they wrote. There was this sacredness even to write the name of God, which I don't have time to teach all of about Yahweh, but to them it was YHWH. The vowels weren't there. They didn't have vowels in the ancient Hebrew, but there was just this sacredness to even writing or speaking the name of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who he is. It's not lost on me that three of the Ten Commandments speak of the reverence that we should have for God. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment is, you shall make for yourself no idol. And the third commandment is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And so God is saying, I am holy. I am sacred. I am set apart. And you will see me that way. You will treat me that way. Now, we know in our culture, it drives me crazy. It's the name, God's name and the name of Jesus is just thrown around with such irreverence. And it's really sad, and I include myself in our culture, that we just kind of accept that. That's just the way things are. It's not the way things should be. God is sacred. In fact, the great commandment, the very where it all starts, Jesus replied to the question, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So there's this sacredness, this holiness, and that God is worthy of praise. Some more scriptures here that I just want you to hear. Psalm 48, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. I love if you want to just praise the Lord, you're not quite sure how to get the words out of your mouth, just go find you a psalm and let that be your prayer. Pray the Psalms. It's an awesome way to pray. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. We sang a chorus just a little while ago, Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. The fullness, by the way, church, of God. Jesus is teaching us to pray to God that he is our Father, and hallowed is to be his name. But did you know the fullness of the holiness of God is found in the name of Jesus? Did you know that? So even though Jesus was teaching us to pray this to his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, Jesus, listen to this passage in Philippians 2. Speaking of the sacrificial death of Jesus, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now, you know, I've done this before. There's just something special about that name of Jesus. I mean, if you know what he's done for you, that name is precious. I was reading some on this great chorus that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote. I think it was in 1970. There's something about that name. And I was reading about that some, and Bill was just saying that that came out of his deep love for his Savior, and this, you know, the chorus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You could stop right there. That's a great chorus right there. Just three words. It's the same word repeated. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. And I'm reminded, if you're from West Texas, you know how precious rain is, don't we? About 10 years ago or so, I was doing some of my studies at Duke, and I had two pastor friends that were from the Northeast, and it rained several times a week up there. And one afternoon, we were out of school, and we were back at the apartment. We were studying, and it was just one of those. It wasn't a storm. It was just a good rain. And I slid open the back patio door, and I set a chair right there, and I was just listening to it rain and smelling it rain. And these guys thought I'd lost my mind. They're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to it rain. You're what? It rains all the time. I said, oh, no, not where I'm from. And so I can just feel that, can't you? Just the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, hallowed be your name. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Say his name with me one time. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Do you know he loves you? Is there something about that name? Whatever we drag around with us, we drag around this stuff. The enemy wants us to drag around this stuff, this heavy old stuff in our life. He wants us to be bitter. He wants us to have shame. But Jesus wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to be free. God is worthy of our praise. I want to play this last little video to close. This little 2-year-old girl, she was 2 years and 8 months, I believe the video actually shows that, sings the Lord's Prayer. And I actually did, this little girl, it's been a few years ago when I ran across this video. This little girl, I think, is around 13 now, and I actually, she's got some other YouTube clips out there. She's still singing to the glory of God, but she's two years and 8 months at this time. Go ahead and roll that, Lee. Don't you love that one part where she kind of just kind of, and she kind of, it's like the great coming in there big and strong. I wish that we had that passion for the Lord. You know, when I challenge you again, I just want to challenge you again to begin to pray that prayer at noon every day. And just let's see what God does with that. You know, I wasn't planning on saying this, but it's just kind of coming to me, and that's what I'm going to say. This past Wednesday, our community group, we were doing a service project that we wanted to do just to serve people, and we came up with this idea of going to a laundromat and just paying for people's laundry, helping them fold, and let me tell you, when... When you come up to somebody, they're fixing to put quarters in the machine. You go, "Hey, can I pay for that for you? And can we bless you and pay for that?" They usually have this look like, "What are you selling, and what do you want?" You know, and you have to kind of explain to them, "No. We don't want anything." And so it was really a neat time, and you know, was getting us out of our comfort zone. Even Pastor Jeff was out of his comfort zone, And but it was going really well. We were had blessed a lot of families and struck up some conversations with some, and we were getting ready to go, and this lady came in, and she had purple hair, by the way. She had purple hair. And we went over, and we said, hey, can we bless you and pay for your laundry? And immediately, tears came to her eyes. And we were ready to go. Tears came to her eyes. And she said, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. And we went over, and she loaded up, I think, four washers, and we paid for her laundry. And she said, tomorrow I take my little daughter, my little 8-year-old daughter, to Cook's. She's having some health problems, and they don't know what's wrong with her. And this, he was really shook up about this. And we hugged her neck, and we said, hey, you know, we hadn't done this with any of the other people, but we said, hey, can we pray for you and your little daughter? And she said, oh, please. And we circled around her right there in a laundromat, and we prayed for this young lady. Her name, I want you to pray for Vanessa and J.D., it's like lady with a J, J.D. I don't know what they found out, but that was Wednesday night. They were headed Thursday to for Cook's. You know, when we step out, you just don't know what God's going to do. What our group talked about is like, hey, it was neat. We blessed a lot of people, and we paid for people's laundry, but we were there for Vanessa and J.D. that night. And God loves Vanessa and J.D., and he sent us to love on them that night. What else does he have planned for us? If we'd all been home in the safety of our home, we would have missed it. We would have missed that opportunity to bless that lady and her daughter. God has, he wants to use us as his hands and his feet. So pray that prayer at noon. And sometimes it will be where you pray and it's just kind of like, I just kind of went through the motions today. That's okay. Go through the motions. Just say it. But then other days you'll have a little more time and it'll make a bigger impact. Right, Miller? God knows what he's doing. He just reminds us, puts us back on center. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your children, that you are a personal God, that you want relationship with us. You want to just be engaged in our life, that you are powerful, and that you are worthy of our praise. Forgive us, Father, when we fail you. We thank you that you're patient with us. We praise your holy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. We thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you have even called us brothers and sisters with Christ himself. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the praise team closes us today, we're going to close with a baptism right after this song. If Jesus Christ, if there's anything that he's sharing with your heart, if you want to talk about accepting him as your Lord and Savior, if you want me to pray with you, I will be around after the baptism, after the service today. Let's stand as we close. Y'all can go ahead and sit or stand or whatever you want to do. If you stand right there on the, yeah, that's good. You're good right there. You're good right there. All right, come on up, family. This is Kim Crenshaw. Kim, we've talked. Kim was not raised in the church, but the Lord's been very busy in her life. And she has been feeling His presence, and she wants to go deeper with Him. And let me tell you, He wants to go deeper with you, Kim. He loves you. And so we come today to officially for Kim to invite Jesus to be her Lord and Savior and to be in her heart. And so I ask you now, Kim, that you repent of your sin.
Yes.
And do you wish to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and have Him in your heart?
Yes, I do.
Amen. And that's exciting stuff. And she kind of hangs out with this guy occasionally, Scott. So Scott and I go way back. I've got some stories I can tell you later, but that's another time. If you want to turn around, Kim, and if you'll sit right there on that platform. All right, hold your nose. We're going to go down. Kim, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there for a second. You guys come in. We're gonna put a hand on her. One of the things that Scripture tells us, and we know, is that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell inside of you. You've invited Him in, so we're gonna pray that prayer. Lord, we just thank You for the cross. Thank You that You love Kim Crenshaw. God, I just pray blessings on her. That You, Father, from this moment forward, we drive a stake in the ground and we say she belongs to You. Lord, I just pray that You'd fill her with Your Holy Spirit, that, Father, You would just continue to do in her what you have planned all along, God, that You would just continue to make her the woman that You've created her to be. I pray blessings on her and on Scott and their family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Go and tell someone that God is good. We are dismissed.
It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing.